right, welcome back to another episode of the Sports Department Podcast. I'm Justin Valentovic, joined by Stephen Bologna, Stephen Clark, and Jesse Norman. And we're breaking down the final week of the NFL regular season, which is week 18. We've made it. We're here. A few things. We're not going to go into every single game because half of them really didn't matter. So we'll talk about the ones that directly impacted the playoffs. And we'll go over our pick standings. I think I know who won, but we'll go into that. And we'll talk about the latest coach firings because there's probably about a sixth of the league that is open. So, guys, what's going on?
I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk about the Colts.
I do.
I just want to sit in misery. But yeah.
I think it's so funny. I was the only one who didn't want to make the playoffs this year, and my team made the playoffs.
Your team makes it.
Yeah. Said from the beginning of the year, didn't want to make the playoffs. I want to get as high of a draft pick as possible.
Hey, and you never know what happens in the playoffs.
Could be
one last dance all the way to the chip.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. Throwing a quick hundo on it.
No, I'm happy to talk about other games besides my own. And happy to talk football. You know, like you said, Justin, we made it to week 18. Playoffs are exciting. Wild card weekend with a Monday night game. I'm excited.
First
week 18 ever.
Yeah. So
best week 18 ever and the worst
or worse. Yeah, depending on how you want to look at it. So
exactly.
Let's just get
both at the same time.
Let's just rip this Band-Aid off and talk about our picks. So the only thing that I can lock up basically is last place because I took the Colts. They lost. So I came in last for the week with 4 points. Then Bologna came in third with 12. Jesse in second with 13. And Clark won the last week with 14 points.
Finish strong, baby. Unlike the Colts, you finish strong.
Exactly. So how that impacts the season total. I have 163 coming up in last place. Then Clark with 174 in third, Jesse with 183 in second, and finally Bologna with 201 to finish off the season and winning our first picks contest. Congratulations.
We are the champions. You know, it was a good run. Jesse hit a New York Mets blow up halfway through the year there.
Pretty much.
I didn't put in a week.
Hey. I got to take advantage, but it was an honor. Justin, not surprised.
Justin, not surprised.
Last again in another prediction thing.
Yeah, I blew this was
seven,
fun.
Eight locks in a row. It. I blew.
Yeah, something like that. And you still finished ahead of me.
I didn't come in last. So
I'm glad we came.
Since you enjoyed this pick, so let's do baseball then.
Oh my God!
Every single game of every team, over a thousand games. Hey, if you're keeping track,
division winners and locks.
It took me like 45 minutes to clear out like 3 weeks worth of backlog that I didn't count here. Imagine that for baseball.
If you want to keep track of every single 162 for each team,
I'll
do it.
No. So the award for Bologna is a jersey of his choice from the NFL, so probably the Washington football team. So, Steve, do you know who you're going
to? We get to pick the player, though. No.
Jesse, did your shirt come yet?
I didn't get to pick my shirt. I'll allow Bologna to pick a team or an organization, but we get to decide what the player is.
Did it come yet, Jesse?
No, it did not yet.
Let me check that.
And don't get me wrong, I love my shirt.
I would love it,
but he will not. I will not be letting him get.
Wait a second,
like Antonio Gibson. No. This guy's getting Darius Geis, Robert Griffin III,
Ryan Fitzpatrick,
discounted Kirk Cousins, maybe Fitzpatrick. Absolutely not. Maybe a sixth round pick.
You didn't get to pick. Listen, I'll do that if it's a player that's on the team currently. Like, that's bullshit if I got to get a Darius Geis.
We'll settle that when we settle it.
Should have a punishment.
Next year. That's next year.
Yes.
And we'll put in more strict rules that Bologna doesn't
in wrestling too.
Bend that's to a, his whim.
It's
to get
coming
first
to wrestling. Late. A punishment's coming to wrestling too. I don't know what.
Exactly. If you want to enforce rules, make rules. That's all I got to say.
Steve goes, I'm not bothered by this, and it'll literally hunt down 3 months worth of text at the beginning in September to prove a point. But that's here nor there. So let's get into
Justin's just deflecting long enough so that we don't talk about the Colts.
No, that's second on the rundown, bitch. So let's talk about
talking to me or Carson Wentz.
Yeah, funny stuff. So let's talk about Sunday Night Football that ended the regular season, and that was the Raiders and the Chargers. Now going into this game, all the Raiders or Chargers had to do to get into the postseason was either win and they're in or tie and they both get in. And for the longest time, it seemed like, okay, the Raiders are just kind of kicking the shit out of the Chargers for the most part. They can't do too much. And then here comes Justin Herbert showing why he's as good as everyone thinks he will be. And somehow, some way, he tied the game to send it into overtime, basically playing with third and fourth down, really the only time they were actually trying to get in that drive. And then they go into overtime and it comes close to getting to a tie. And it, at one point it looks like the Raiders are just going to run out the clock and then that's it, you know, because at that point they cross the 50, they're playing with house money, you know, they kick it, they're in, they tie, they're still in. So at that point, what does it matter? And then Brandon Staley does probably one of the stupidest decisions a coach can do is call a timeout. And then the Raiders came out, ran the ball, got 10 yards, kicked it, and the Chargers are going home. My, oh my.
I'm really curious because, like, the Raiders say they were going to let the clock run out.
They would have.
I'm really curious if they were going
to. Okay, well, they were lined up in shotgun. They weren't just going to let it, like, run out. They were going to run a play.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, once, though, they crossed, like, the 40, they were kind of playing with house money at that point. Because even if they lined up to a kick and missed it, they were still going to the postseason. Basically, what had to happen was the kick was to be blocked and then returned for 60 yards or so for a touchdown for the Chargers to win. Was at this rate with this game, I was expecting that to happen.
With this whole season in general, honestly. Yeah. I mean, hey, I mean, besides all this controversy with, you know, all the ties and the kneeling and whatever could have happened and whatnot, props to the Raiders in general, because I've slandered them since, you know, they started going on this cold streak and, you know, same old Raiders nonsense, and they pulled it out. They finished the season very strong, and hell, they got a playoff berth. Are they going to go far? Probably not, but you know, they beat a couple good teams on the way. And, you know, this is, we're not used to this. This is Derek Carr's first time in the playoffs, I'm pretty sure. I don't recall.
The last time they made it, the Colts broke his leg on Christmas Eve 16, give or take?
Yeah.
Good for the Raiders. Yeah, like I said, Clark. Good for Derek Carr.
Considering
my favorite game is Herbert is just, he is
the future
top six quarterback for me. I mean, other than Slater, he really doesn't have that great of an offensive line. And that's something that they're going to have to.
Lindsley's really good too, but he's a center. So yeah,
but also
it doesn't matter as much.
Doesn't count.
But the whole right side.
Their right tackle was like getting terrible. Destroyed by Max
Crosby. Well, because, yeah, Bulaga's been out for majority of the year, and he was supposed to be their right tackle. That was funny.
Yeah,
I've seen people saying like wasting Keenan Allen's career. Like that's so stupid to me.
He's been there for what, like 10 years already.
He's a dog. Longer. It feels like longer, honestly.
I'll look it up.
He was another one of the jackasses that on first and second down that last drive that just literally the ball hit him in the hands and they dropped it.
They like didn't want to move the ball on first and second down. Like if it wasn't a first down, they wanted to not complete it. They had 19 plays in like 2 minutes. It was one of the weirdest play drives I've ever seen. Herbert went 6 for 6 on fourth down for like 148 yards. Like I think 2 touchdowns or something absurd. But my biggest takeaway here is even if Staley doesn't call the timeout, the Chargers weren't going to stop a run. They haven't been able to stop a run all year. This all comes down to the fact that Josh Jacobs, who hasn't looked himself all year and came in hurt, allowed them to just run. The Raiders' offensive line just bitched the Chargers' front seven just the whole time. Just the whole time. I mean, there was a couple times here and there they would get a stop, but for the most part, if the Raiders wanted to run the ball, they just could, and so could anybody on the Chargers. And that was the knock on the Chargers for the whole year. And in week 18, when they needed to win, when everything was on the line and Justin Herbert was still trying to bail them out, they couldn't stop the run.
And let's be honest, no matter where Carlson was attempting from, he was hitting it. Like
Carlson's been on point all year.
Yeah.
He's up there with Tucker at this point for this year of just like he felt like every single big kick he hit.
The Vikings cut him for Dan Bailey, right? Wasn't that what it was?
I think so, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
So bad.
Kickers are always on the move. Like, they'll find a place, they'll have one good year, then they'll just randomly get dumped and they'll be good somewhere else. But, yeah, the Raiders are moving on despite all things that have gone completely horrible wrong for them this season, between Gruden getting fired, losing Ruggs to, you know, his own stupidity, and then Darren Waller basically being out for an entire season. Here they are in the playoffs. And you got to think with Rich Bisaccia technically being an interim coach, you know, do they consider keeping him? Because he's definitely coached his way into keeping the job.
Well,
he's
getting at least a year. You got to give him. You got to give him a chance.
And
a
it
year
seems
or two.
Like the players all like him. Like the culture he's built there since taking over for Gruden, a lot of the players have liked him there. So at this point, he's really same thing with Derek Carr to an extent. They put, you know, Mark Davis in a tough spot of what they do next, because everyone seemed like, oh, Carr was going to be gone. You know, they're going to get a new coach and then they'll kind of sort of reboot this thing. But now it's like, oh, they got into the playoffs. Now what?
Well, yeah, now it's kind of looking like they have too many legit players to kind of rebuild. When you look at Carr, you have Jacobs and I believe Drake signed a 2-year deal. So that tandem's back next year. Waller's locked up. Renfro's locked up. You get like a couple receivers and, you know, the line keeps getting better and you add some pieces to the defense. Like, this is a legit team.
As bad as I think the 2020 draft classes, the 2019 class has been carrying this team. Like, that's their core, which includes Crosby and Renfro.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember that, Jesse?
And Crosby's been fantastic. Farrell had a couple big plays last night.
Did he really?
He was in on one of the sacks.
He played last night.
He played. Good for him. But Max Crosby's a beast.
Yeah,
Crosby's a really good, really good hustle player. The league.
Top. I'll give him top.
Yeah,
three
he's in the top five for sure.
Yeah.
And also the Chargers they need to throw everything at the right side of that line. It's so desperately they need so badly to secure the right side of that line, and they're fine. Also, get another receiver other than Jalen Guyton. Jalen Guyton should not have been getting the targets that he was getting when Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are covered. That is not a third receiver.
Justin Guyton, just like the good old days.
Funny stuff there, Clark. So, Jesse, real quick, your shirt is in Groveport, Ohio.
All right, it'll probably be here in like a day or two.
In Ohio.
How far is that from your current residence? That is...
Justin knows the exact location of Jesse's.
4 hours. It'll be like
four hours. Yeah, so it'll probably be a day or two.
Yeah, your bitching. So let's talk about a game that I want to bitch about, and that basically set this entire week in motion, and it was the inevitable that everyone thought wouldn't happen, couldn't happen, shouldn't happen, and that is the Colts taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, because the only way for the Steelers, the Ravens, the freaking... got Raiders, Chargers, for all of them to get into the postseason, one thing would have to be the nucleus to happen, and or the freaking launching off point, whatever you want to call it, and that is the Indianapolis Colts would have had to have lost to the Jacksonville. There you go. Would have had to have lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it happened, and not just barely, in a spectacular car crash, Hindenburg, any type of disaster you could ever think of, flaming pile of dog shit was this game, and it came out and it started. Wrong and bad and terrible for the Colts, because Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars came down and marched right down the field, scored no problem. Colts three and out, a few punts here and there. And next thing you know, they're down like three scores and they can't block, can't pass, can't defend because they have no cornerbacks. And here they are and they have to rely on Wentz, and he's getting the shit kicked out of him because Eric Fisher went full Nate Solder and forgot how to block and play tackle. And can't wait to watch Hard Knocks later, because that's the only way I'll know if Buckner or Darius Leonard were actually on the field, because you didn't hear their name once. They didn't show up. So it would be nice to see if there was actual film on that. And then, of course, Kenny Moore got hurt at one point. And the team fumbled a lot, too, on kickoffs a few times and whatnot. And here we are. Colts are out in a horrible, horrible, depressing way that no one thought could happen. And it just extends the losing streak in Jacksonville across two GMs, two coaches, four different quarterbacks and two different complete builds of a team. They haven't won since 2017. 14. Good. Yeah.
You're done?
I'm beyond annoyed with this team. I don't think I'll get over it. And this is with a Super Bowl loss. Not done.
Okay.
This is up there. This is probably the worst loss in the Colts history. What a kick in the dick.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what more I could say. Said basically what I was going to say.
You want to blame Carson? That seems what everyone's been doing.
Not really. Kind of the whole team.
I'm going to blame Carson. No. I have a different person to blame. Well, not a different person, but a different unit to blame. I think that's arguably more at loss than Wentz. And that is anything from the defensive line or linebackers who are trying to pass rush. Because Lawrence has not had a pocket like that all year. That man was sitting back there for 7 seconds on third down. That was my biggest takeaway, where the Jags were just infinitely better this game than every other game, was Lawrence had time on third down to sit and get progressions. So the Colts can only cover for so long. By the time Lawrence gets to his third read, it doesn't matter if it's third and 10. They have it. It's been like 9 seconds. They had no pass rush the whole time. The Jags' offensive line, like, you would think was like a top five offensive line. If you would have thought
it was the Colts'
game.
Offensive line that everyone's been hyping up,
that everybody's been talking about.
Everyone's been talking about their bio market.
Trevor Lawrence was sacked one time, and that was on like the first or second drive of the entire game in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not with all these, like, the easy way out, blaming Wentz and all that stuff.
No, Dan Orlovsky on First Take today or whatever morning show ESPN runs, he sounded like a fucking idiot. You know, this is the guy who ran out the back of the end zone. He is not a credible source to critique quarterbacks, if I'm being honest.
He's been the Wentz guy the whole year.
And then all of a sudden,
this was the trendy time.
Wentz couldn't throw because no one was blocking for him.
No one was blocking, exactly.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, the Jags defensive line that has not been good this whole year, besides maybe
they went back to
2016 games. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just took over. Well, and I think, I mean, maybe there's a part of that that was just, hey, even if you guys win, you're still the number one pick.
Well, the line
I don't know.
Also,
plus, you have to knock out a division rival too if you win.
It's just something.
I mean, that is something sweet.
When the Colts get there, it's orb of confusion level just turning off your brain.
Well, this doesn't make any sense. I do agree that this is a really bad loss for the Colts, because this was like they were rolling. Like, everybody was picking them as like cute little Super Bowl picks, like
Rich
they
Eisen
were dark
the
horses.
He said
people,
in 2 weeks
people were on Taylor.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, the Colts, Rich Eisen tweeted it the best. In 2 weeks, the Colts went from the team no one wanted to see in the playoffs to a team
no one's gonna see
in the playoffs.
See in the playoffs, yeah. And I mean, it's just like, how do you go into a game with the season, the literal season on
they,
the line?
They had two opportunities to win and get in the postseason. They lost to the Raiders and they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, they could have gotten in if the Ravens, Dolphins, and Raiders won, which, of course, 2/3 of that happened. Now, I'm not saying
shouldn't leave it up to other
people. Exactly. But yeah, that's been the biggest problem, even going back to Pagano and with Reich, that the Colts have been too reliant on other things happening to get them in the playoffs.
I agree.
And at this point, this needs to be a wake-up call. One, don't start the season 0-4, 0-3, and losing all the freaking time. Two, get a fucking tiebreaker in your division for one freaking time. Please.
Three, just beat a two-win team.
Facts.
I think that's the craziest part. Is like, this Jacksonville team was like the laughing stock of the league. This is a bad team. This is a team still legitimately with Laquon Treadwell as their number one receiver.
Yeah. And it could have gotten a lot worse, too. Like, this, it seemed the Jaguars literally, they were rolling at some point. They could have easily been up almost 30 points at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. With the way that they were executing. And I mean, I understand the frustration, because one thing about the Tomlin Steelers is they always play down to competition, always, but never in a go home game. That's just astonishing. Like, the Colts needed this game. They've been rolling.
Yes.
They've beaten good teams. They've beaten teams way better than this Jacksonville team. Yep. And they just showed up and just couldn't. Like, they just looked like
it
they
looked
couldn't
unprepared.
Play football.
I think it looked
bad.
I think they walked in saying Jacksonville's an embarrassment. no matter, we can play our one of our worst games and we'll still squeak out a win. But, you know, when you give up opening drive touchdown and then you don't score the next drive and then you give up another one, it's like, fuck.
And of course, yeah. Trevor Lawrence had literally a career game.
Literally, yeah,
best probably his best game of his
life. Good for him. Good for him. It gives him a little hope going into next year, so that's good for them.
Now people are at least not going to be so bad on him of like, well, is he even the guy? Do you want to keep him? I think that at least kind of puts that to rest of, yeah, this is definitely your guy for at least next year. He is the guy you're going to build around. You have the number one pick. You're trending sort of in the right direction. Again, I think the Jaguars should go so hard at Doug Peterson. Try to get Nagy in as the offensive coordinator. Give Lawrence established coaching. Don't do any more of these flyers. Exactly. Don't do any more of these, oh, maybe this trendy guy from Sean McVay or from college.
No.
Get somebody who has been in the NFL and works in the NFL. Just get him a legit head coach and offensive coordinator.
So someone who's a legit head coach and knows what they're doing and is proven. It's good old Mike Tomlin out in Pittsburgh.
Jesse, Mikey Toms.
Take it away.
I mean, what is there to say?
You're in the playoffs.
You knew when there was 2 weeks left in the season and Ben was playing two more games against division rivals.
He had
to give them the goodbye kiss. The one more drive every time. Oh, God. We're playing the Chiefs, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Let's go. Yeah. Here we go, Steelers, baby.
We're going to get.
You never know. I mean, I think you're going to get rail too, but you never know. It's
definitely the weakest the Chiefs has been, though. All
teams in Claypool.
I think this, weakest possible playoff team to get in. I think maybe the Ravens are worse than us if Huntley's playing. Well, I mean, objectively, yeah, because honestly, we beat them. But
Huntley's maybe better than Lamar. I don't know.
If I could trade playoffs for TJ getting half more of a sack, I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Because he now is.
You'd rather the sack.
He holds the record with Strahan.
Did you see he had one?
He had one for Huntley, but Huntley already dropped the ball.
Well, there's another one where they gave him a full one. So then when he tied it, he thought he broke it. But then they rescored it and gave him a half sack. And then another one was called back because of like a penalty or something. If he didn't miss the two games, he legitimately could have had like 26 sacks this season.
Two games, and he didn't play almost all of one of the Browns games.
So piss off, Strahan.
Huntley
also did take a dive like far.
Yeah.
Huntley dropped the football, picked it back up, and then they were like, well, he's no longer a quarterback at that point. He's a runner. So. Even though Watts still got him there.
I'm curious to know with Lamar, he didn't play for like the last 6 weeks. And
it's been his ankle,
time,
right?
The whole time it's they're like, ankle. Oh, it's just an ankle, just a little ankle thing. But he's going to practice in full and then just nothing. Just never played again.
Yeah.
So I'm curious.
I think it's because like they – and it's so weird. They kind of expected, I guess, to just win some of these games and they didn't. Like they didn't win any of them.
You know – as crushing as like the Colts loss, which is a painful way to lose, the Ravens were what, 8-0 at one point or whatever it was. They were,
I don't think they were that good, but they were rolling. Completed the division. Yeah,
they were rolling at one point. And then Lamar
and they fell off hard.
Don't worry, they're gonna slam their pick and probably draft the best player in the whole freaking draft.
Well, you gotta think now with Harbaugh, you know, going for those two times and losing both of them, you know. Got to have at least one of those back.
And well, here's the issue. Both times, like, they were kind of the right play and everything kind of worked right. The quarterback just didn't make the play both times. And like, that's kind of tough because you want to have confidence in your quarterback. And both times they came up short.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens
held their own fate here and they have. And I think Steve makes a great point. We haven't heard anything about Lamar's ankle injury. Yeah, we've been told, like, literally week to week, like, oh, yeah, we're just being really cautious with him. It's like your season was on the line.
It's like Kawhi.
Your literal season.
He's gone.
I didn't say it.
Exactly. Well, I can't wait to see the Last Dance-style documentary for Ben's last ride here this season.
Oh, God. I hope they didn't get documentary footage of it. oh, man.
Hey, he might come back. You never know.
Yeah, he got you to the playoffs, Jesse. Why
he got you to the playoffs?
No, he cried and everything. So did Phillip Rivers for you guys.
But well, he did you also see Reich though at the end of that conference, that press conference said we'd gladly take Phil back, and now for Wentz, he's like, we'll reevaluate.
Oh, God. Tomlin, please we'll don't. Tomlin, please don't. Now.
So that's here nor there. Wow. So let's talk about NFC West matchup, and that's the 49ers and the Rams. And boy, oh boy, Niners came to play.
So
winning 27-24. Jimmy G fighting for his job and kind of going a little Aaron Rodgers and getting his team to the playoffs after they drafted what you would think would be his replacement.
Yeah.
It still is his replacement. I mean, but he's making them think like, damn, he brought us to the playoffs, went into LA the last week needing a win and gets the win. Debo,
I mean, this hasn't been the issue with Jimmy. We all know how good Jimmy is. He just can't stay healthy. He misses 5 games every year.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think that's kind of the biggest issue. That's always been the issue.
Also, the biggest key for the Niners' success has been Debo Samuel has just been a Swiss Fantastic. Army knife. Of a running back and wide receiver. You know, he caught like 77 passes and ran the ball almost like 60 times.
This game.
He's been awesome this season for them.
Well,
he's kept
Reggie
their season
Bush
alive.
Wanted to be, am I right?
Who?
Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
It was a joke.
Basically what Cordell Patterson is now.
Yeah. He's not playing safety, though.
Yeah, no, that was cool. It's cool to see a winning in like this against, you know, a team that's kind of better than you and, you know, winning your division. I mean, you beat the division leader to get in right here. So that's really cool in its own part. Three teams from this division in the playoffs. So that, and the Seahawks aren't one of them, which is a shocker how they just fell off this
dead
year.
Dead last, yeah.
Literally.
Russ's fingy hurt.
His fingy. This is cool. This is really cool for the Niners. It's a step in the right direction. I like you said though, Justin, or whoever said it. It makes you think if they're going to keep Jimmy around, or you know, they're going to go with Trey Lance now.
I don't know.
Kyle Shanahan owns Sean McVay.
Owns you see, him. Too. This was the first loss that McVay had planted on his perfect 46-0 record of when leading going into the half.
Wow. So now we don't have to see that every time.
Yeah, the Wonder Bread stat is gone, thankfully.
No, they'll just they'll present it with the one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nothing else? No.
It's still Lance's offense next year. I think that's the right move.
Probably. So. We shall see. Well, it also depends on how far they get in the playoffs, but time is ticking, though, for Jimmy G. So we got two more games before we take a break really quick. Dolphins-Patriots. Dolphins beat the Patriots 33-24, surprisingly.
And then they fired their coach.
Yes, that's what I wanted to get to, which I don't get how that happened, which that means they probably won, have their guy in mind. But also some reports have started coming out that basically – the relationship Flores has had with everybody has slowly just deteriorated across everywhere. And it's coming out that he was the one making the push for Deshaun Watson, which that's interesting.
Wanted his QB. I mean, was he there? Yeah, he would have been there to draft Tua, right?
This was his third season.
Third year already. Holy shit.
Not enough years. That's wild. Great, yeah, that's the biggest thing out of this game. I mean, cool. I mean, Patriots look very vulnerable going into the playoffs, but whatever. I mean, we might do a playoff podcast or whatever. We can talk about that. But good for the Dolphins finishing strong, and it's horrible. I that was the worst firing out of all, like you said, the 1/6 of the league's head coaches got fired. I just don't agree with it. I thought he was a solid coach overall. I mean, he's obviously going to get another head coaching job. He's not going to go back to coordinator. Just shocking. It's very, very, very shocking with that.
And then final game, Titans beat the Texans, which we kind of expected, but the significance is that the Titans locked up the number one seed, so the AFC could potentially run straight through the Music City, and that means Derrick Henry gets one more week to rest before coming back. So
it's huge.
Oh boy.
They might have gotten eliminated this week if they were a wild card, not a wild card team, but you know, like in playing in the wild card games. But Henry being back for the divisional round,
they would have played the Steelers. No, they wouldn't have.
You're right, actually. But Henry potentially only having to play 3 games coming off the injury, they're looking like an AFC favorite, if you ask me. If Henry comes back, the full King Henry 2K rushing yard strength, I honestly
watch out AFC.
I don't see them not making the Super Bowl. I really don't. It just works so well.
And that basically locked up Vrabel for Coach of the Year, if we're being honest.
Either him or what to say.
The ads on, the Bengals coach. One that Justin also Taylor, thinks is an idiot.
I fired six times this already.
This is the Justin. Justin.
I Valentine fired your ass six times. For the playoffs.
Justin loves these guys.
So the difference with this game, though, Justin, Texans saying Deshaun Watson, they're going to have him out by March 16th. So,
interesting.
I mean, you're the one that told me that news. So
yeah,
I did not see that. Who is there?
Yeah.
The Texans said they want to have Watson traded by the start of free agency or the new
league. The start of the league year, which is March 16th.
Yeah, that makes dumb sense. To take that risk. You need to know how much your cap.
Who's going to be dumb enough to take that risk?
Whoever does it, though, they're going to have their lawyer, their legal teams working.
Oh, they're doing deep dives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're seeing how possible a suspension could be potentially. So there's that. So we're going to take a short little break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some coaches who've been fired already. So stay tuned. And we're back. So let's talk about some coaches who've been fired from their NFL teams. Some, of course, were expected. Some, of course, were extremely unexpected. You know, what we finished last.
I guess you could ask these teams if they're hiring.
Sure. So the list goes as Bears fired Matt Nagy, Vikings fired Mike Zimmer, Broncos fired Vic Fangio, Dolphins fired Brian Flores. Right before recording this podcast, Giants fired Joe Judge. Jags fired Urban Meyer well before, and then the Raiders fired John Gruden way before as well. So, first things first, kind of expected Nagy, kind of expected Zimmer, kind of expected Fangio. Joe Judge, everyone wanted him gone. They gave him an extra day to, I guess, pack his things and then kicked him out. Brian Flores was the unexpected one. Urban Meyer was a disaster. John Gruden was horrible as a human being, not even just a coach. So, first things first, which one do you think is the most appealing job?
Giants. Ooh. Give me the Giants all day.
Free just agents are lining up.
Just because.
They can't even sign their own draft class.
Those two top 10 draft picks are so much you can do with that, honestly.
Or top, 35, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I mean, you're
they
not
have, like, they, no, they legit have five in the top, 80.
Yeah, you're not going to keep them all. You're going to try to hopefully make some trades and, maybe get a franchise quarterback if you don't want to keep Danny Dimes around. I mean, your receiving core is fine. You just got to get him the ball. I mean, Galladay's yet to get a touchdown. Stay healthy. Kadarius Toney had a decent year for a rookie. I know Saquon's kind of washed, but you never know what comes out of that. Build your O-line a little more, maybe.
The Giants have negative $3 million in cap room currently going into the offseason.
It was even like they're in a cut for cap space.
They're 28th in cap space.
I
just think it's a lot of fun though.
Who do you think has the most cap hell? 32nd.
Saints.
Yeah.
Saints by far.
Negative 68.
Saints
million.
Or Rams.
The Saints.
Rams are in there too.
They have negative 68 million. Yeah. And then the Packers, Vikings, surprisingly Cowboys, and then Giants.
I like the Giants job. I the possibility that can come out of it. Like, not right now, in this very second, no, but leading up to the draft.
Saquon's bad. Kenny Galladay hasn't scored a touchdown in New York. What the hell are you doing with your quarterback?
Or that's another question.
Yeah. The defense is lackluster, and you locked into a terrible Leonard Williams contract.
Leonard Williams ain't bad.
Not for $23 million.
So yeah. Looking at the Giants on Spotrac, Leonard Williams making $27.3 million a year. Bradbury's $21.8 million. Galladay's $21.5 million. Adoree Jackson is $16 million. I legit don't see someone. You have Dexter Lawrence coming up to pay. Saquon, you have to make a decision on paying. Danny Dimes, you have to make a decision.
Ingram's a free agent, I think, soon. Evan Ingram's a free agent this year.
Evan Ingram's an injury.
Cut him for money.
Yeah, But there's some players who you're going to have to cut to save to open up some cap room, but you're going to have to take a cap hit as well. Like, you're not going to be able to open up that much money. The Giants, they
had to get rid of Zeidler just to get over in the positive before, like,
who's now good again in Baltimore.
Who was one of the top guards in the league.
Retired. He was getting fired, so they let him bow out gracefully. He put them in such a – he handcuffed them so bad.
He had a plan.
Yeah.
He had a plan.
And honestly, I think the Broncos is one of the more attractive jobs because once again – but the issue is, who's your quarterback?
That's all you
need. They're just a quarterback.
They've never been able to figure that out since Manning left. And even Manning's last 2 years wasn't really great. As far as I'm concerned, I think the best job I would take is probably the Jags. Because at least I don't have to worry about quarterback. If I can trade out of one, that would be a huge, huge package you could get. If you could convince the Giants somehow to give you 5 and 7, I feel like they'd maybe do it.
For one?
I think there's a chance they'd do it.
To get Hutchinson?
Yeah.
Another D-lineman they have to pay.
I mean, yeah, I like the Jags. I like the Jags job just simply because they have a quarterback. Denver is – it's so hard because you just don't have a quarterback and you don't know how you're going to get one because Elway doesn't want to draft one because he whiffs in the draft and he doesn't want to spend a high draft pick.
That's another one. It's like,
honestly, that might be for the best though, because
maybe they get rid of
Elway. They need somebody to look over Elway's shoulder because there's literally nobody right now.
But also the quarterback market, the ones we would have thought would be on the move, a lot of them are staying kind of in place for right now, at least.
Eddie Ice, baby.
Falcons said they're holding on to Matt Ryan. Browns seem like they're going to run out Baker's clock on his contract. Jimmy G, don't know what's going on there. And Aaron Rodgers, he's weird, so no one knows what he's going to do either. So
he's weird.
No, seriously, he could either just retire or come. Like, who knows what the hell he's going to do? He's the most unpredictable for being all of them. But also Russ in Seattle, you know, do they finally divorce and rip that Band-Aid off? But
one of them's gone.
But are the Broncos? The Broncos sure weren't on his list.
No, yeah. Giants were, and I'm still calling the Giants. I still think they make that move for Russ.
It doesn't matter. I don't think it, like, unless they rework the team, that's a stupid trade. Like, Russ is just going to the same situation he had in Seattle. Really talented receivers,
running game.
An absolutely terrible offensive
line.
He's
used to it by now.
And a bad high overall draft pick running back that's constantly hurt. That's Seattle.
Yeah. Maybe wants it to feel like home.
Seattle East Coast. Job.
What?
Minnesota. That's a good job.
I mean,
they're in the same place. Though,
it's an okay job. It's the Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins didn't have a bad season this year. It was their defense that really helped.
Yeah, now you got to fix the defense. But here's the issue. How do you fix the defense when Mike Zimmer's defense just fell apart? Mike Zimmer's one of, like, I would say, the best defensive coaches.
And I think, too, you know, Harrison Smith's on the back end of 30. So how long is he going to be there for? Anthony Barr is just
really? How old is Smith?
He's old.
There's no way Smith's that old. He's going to be like 29.
So that's over 35, the back end of 30.
Yeah, just
well, he's on the other
38.
He's 32.
Yeah, that's not the
back end of 30.
Turning 33 next week.
Look at that.
Oh, he turns 33 next week.
Yeah, but realistically, that's a year.
He's
or two.
Right. He's right at that. Like,
but that's what I'm
he
saying.
He can fall off.
This
any
is
year
this
now.
Defense
yeah.
is slowly
falling apart.
Falling apart. Even yeah. like they have Patrick Peterson as their cornerback one.
Well, that's what I was just going to
say.
They
got him this year, right? Yeah.
They haven't hit on a defensive draft pick really since who? Hunter?
And he wants out.
And Hunter's pretty much the only one, and he wants out.
Jeff Gladden might kill someone.
Jesus Christ.
Like 2 years ago.
They've wasted pick after pick after pick, unless it was on the offensive end. Like, the offensive end, they can draft. The defensive end, they've whiffed.
The only thing that makes this an appealing job is Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook.
Literally, that's it.
Well, yeah. And you got to pay and you're paying Dalvin a lot of money.
I can't wait in a couple of years what Justin Jefferson's contract's going to look like.
Oh, it's going to be expensive.
It's going to be $30 million plus, but luckily you have time for that.
Yeah, because quarterback at that point will be $45 to $50 million.
Well, we're going to see what Devontae gets this year. And Devontae's probably going to get, I would argue, 30. If Kenny Galladay is a $22 million and trending up receiver to where he's going to get probably $26 million in his last year, Devontae needs to be getting 35 in like his last year. Because he should. The unquestioned number one receiver, I think.
Yeah. I'm thinking, we're speaking of receivers here. If I'm the Saints, you have to get rid of Michael Thomas.
Oh, he basically took a year off to get dumped somewhere.
That could be a potential. I mean, again, we've never seen him without Reed. But if you're a team and you need a good receiver, I'd call.
Pass.
I mean, it depends on the asking price. But if they're giving him away for cheap, yeah.
For cheap, yes. For the money, yeah.
If they're giving him away for like a second round pick or a third round pick, I absolutely do it. This is a wide receiver that literally 2 to 3 years ago was in the discussion.
I wouldn't do second. I'd do third. I'd do third because one, you don't know how he's going to be off the injury. Two, you don't know how he is without Breeze. So that's two question marks right there, which I don't want to do.
Yeah, but you're talking about a player who caught more passes in his first five seasons than literally anybody in the NFL.
With a guy who couldn't throw it down the field, though. That's the thing. All those.
So years. That was more limiting to him.
I guess.
I think Thomas, if you're asking for a second round pick, I would say the second round pick, like bust to start ratio is not that good. Yeah, take my second round pick. I don't care. Well, I mean, look, you know who was a second round? You know who was a second round pick last year? You know who one of the Rams' top pick was? Tutu Atwell. Did you guys see him this year? Nope. You know who they would probably rather have? Michael Thomas.
You know the
knowing them, they'll probably get Michael Thomas.
You know who the Colts' second round pick was 2 years ago? Jonathan Taylor. So,
hey, that's great. But I feel like that's a one time pick. If I can get Michael Thomas for sure, I would probably rather have him. But now if they're asking for like a first round pick.
Well, we don't have that anywhere to give up. So
yeah.
Hey man, it's true.
Boy, Philly fleeced the shit out of the Colts, huh?
At least we have the playoffs.
Listen, if they're doing
got our OC, got our pick, gave us them.
If they're asking
for pick, gave us the disease.
For one first round pick straight up, I'd consider it. I mean, what's the difference between him and Amari Cooper?
Maybe if I'm a back end, yeah. The injury, I guess I would say.
Yeah, top 10, fuck that, no. But if you're in the 18 and past,
yeah. If you're picking at like 24 and lower,
yeah.
But yeah, if you can get him for a second round pick coming off the injury, absolutely, I absolutely do it.
Yeah. Anything else on these coaches? You guys want to hit on?
Go back to it.
I think Vangio.
Most of these guys are defensive guys. I think that's been the trend.
Have a top DC, have a top defense, and then be in the consideration.
I got one for you.
No, he's old, but
Jim Harbaugh. Does he come back to the NFL? And if so,
no.
Which job?
No. I don't think he's leaving. If he was to leave, it would be the Raiders. But I don't know if the Raiders are sticking with their dude now, or I think he stays in Michigan. Personally, I think he just stays in Michigan.
I think this is all for leverage. He's going to get
a lifetime probably deal.
$15 million a year from Michigan.
Oof, Tucker dollars signed
10-year
public school.
10-year. Well, I live in East Lansing, so I'm pretty sure I go to the state school. I'll pay for Mel Tucker happily.
Justin.
Mel Tucker signed 10 years, like $100 million. I would have to assume Harbaugh's probably going to sign 10 years, like 150 or 20 years, $200 million. I don't know, something stupid. But I really do. I think he should consider the NFL. I think he's taking Michigan as far as they go. They're not going to, he can't recruit top 5-star guys like Alabama and Georgia can. He's got to compete with Mel Tucker at Michigan State now for Michigan recruits. You brought him as far as you can go. Like, go get a Super Bowl, bro.
I mean, the second they even snipped an SEC team, they lost, 34-6?
It was a no contest.
It was
like, it wasn't
bad.
It's like, oh, great, win the Big Ten. Oh, it's cool. You know, and the thing with Michigan, it's like, oh, 1 year, 10-2 or whatever, and the next year they're like 8-4. They're very inconsistent. So I agree with Jesse. If the money's calling, just go to the league again.
And finally,
he also can't get his quarterback.
Yeah.
Even people love J.J. MacArthur and everything in Michigan. He was like the second rated dual threat quarterback, but he was also like the 12th rated quarterback in the whole nation.
Yeah.
If you're supposed to be this top five program, you need a five-star quarterback.
Final rumor for me. The Chicago Bears potentially could be a player for Ryan Day from Ohio State to make the jump and reunite him with Justin Fields.
Ooh,
yay or nay?
I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
I can't see him leaving Ohio State that quickly, though. He's been – this is, what, his second
year? Yeah, but he's been trained by Urban Meyer. So what else does he know than dip when it's, you know,
well,
when
– And Ohio State is one of the few schools that I think actually can compete with the SEC teams, just at least because of where they're built and how they have the secondary, and they always have defensive backs going in the first round and top 15, top 20s. So they can just build the defense from the back forward and, you know, really do it that way. I like it. I don't think it'll happen unless they throw a ton of money.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, that's all for me for this podcast. So we got the playoffs right around the corner. Good thing we're not doing picks because I'll probably come in last for that as
well. Probably.
Review it, but we'll definitely recap it. Baseball finally started talking to each other. They have a meeting at least scheduled for Thursday. So who knows if that actually happened or not. Jesse, any NBA anytime soon at all?
You guys want to do NBA?
Bologna.
Yeah, let's talk about NBA.
Chomping at the bit. So those will come out when we get to it. So Clark, when those do eventually ever come out, if ever, what can people do to listen?
They can go on the YouTube, the Spotify,
YouTube,
the Apple Music, not Apple Music. Yeah, it's podcast crap. The Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, the TikTok at the sports, not now, at sports.pod, sports.dept.pod. Yeah, Justin said the stuff that's might come out. I don't know. Maybe wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Rumble's
Jesse,
in.
Jesse's got to show off his shirt.
Rumble.
Jesse's got to show off his shirt. Repping a legend on his shirt. So definitely a future Hall of Famer in the business of wrestling, I would say. Would you say so, Justin?
Exactly.
I think so. So stay tuned to all that fun stuff, and we'll see you in the next episode.